This time of the year is probably one of the most favorite times of the year for many people here in the United States and probably in a lot of places around the world, these Christmas holidays. And I don't know how you view these holidays. My personal observation is it's a great time to be involved in the celebrations. You walk around, you go to the stores. Of course, all the stores are all decorated. You go through the neighborhood, houses are decorated. And it seems like people just seem to be a lot more friendlier and happier, big smiles. And it's just a good time to be celebrating these holidays. I know my daughter says this is her favorite time of the year. And I bet a lot of the children here that are gathered here would say the same thing because of the presents they receive. What about Christians that we are gathered tonight here about celebrating Christmas? When I look at God's Word, I don't find anything inherently wrong with this time of the year under two conditions. The first one here is when we do anything to attach religious significance to the Christmas holidays or promote the religious part of it, then that becomes a problem because we know the Bible has nothing about Christmas, when Christ was born. You know, its emphasis, of course, is on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we remove the religious significance and not promoting the religious significance, I think it's okay. But there's another danger, probably the one that's probably the more serious danger for us, and that is it is the time of gift giving. And it's a time when, you know, they call it starting Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And people are using those credit cards and spending things, buying gifts for your children, your grandchildren, for your spouses. And so tonight, as we think about these holidays, we're going to present a sermon here on materialism, because it is a danger, especially during these time of these years. Okay, so what do we mean by materialism? If you have a vehicle, and let's say your vehicle has a lot of miles on it, maybe approaching 200,000, and you have I need a new vehicle. It's about ready to have problems. I'm going to probably get ready to spend a lot of money, and you desire to want a new vehicle. And you maybe got your eyes on a vehicle that's been advertised. You probably get a good deal, a lot of options, good price. I really want this vehicle. That want that you want that vehicle is not materialism. Another example, most of us are working, and you may work hard in your jobs, and you want to get promoted and work hard, and you desire to progress in your company. Say, well, I need the funds. My children are getting close to college age, or I need to start saving for the college education. I'm going to work hard in my job to progress myself, to increase my pay so I can have that money to do things that I want to do. That desire of wanting to promote yourself, to work hard in your job, to get a higher pay, that is not materialism. That want and that desire is not materialism. But what is materialism? Materialism is when that desire for whatever you want of material nature becomes so important in your life that you crowd out God, where God is not first. And it is possible that we as brethren, during this time of the year, will start crowding Christ out and concentrate on buying gifts. Now, you all here tonight, and so you are demonstrating at least to your brethren and to me that that's not a problem, right? This is December 25th. You're here with your brethren, worshiping God and involved in the singing and in this Bible study tonight, the sermon. And so that tells me at least you're not materialistic. But again, it is a danger. Open your Bibles here to Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Titus 2:12. This is a real key verse about worldliness. As Paul is instructing Titus, the preacher on the island of Crete, he tells Titus to teach this. He says, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So this is what Titus is to teach the brethren here. And when we look at this worldly desire, that's worldliness. And what is worldliness? Very related to materialism. Worldliness are attitudes, actions, that will lead people to sin. That's what worldliness, worldly desires. And we are not to be like that. What are we to do? We are to live sensibly. Sensibly has the word of judgment. And this is critical important this time of the year, right? We've got to use good judgment. We don't have unlimited funds. And yeah, those credit cards are very attractive, but we need to make good, proper decisions during this time of the year. It also tells us to live godly and also to live righteously. And so this is the attitude that we ought to have during this time of the season. So why are we presenting this lesson on materialism? It is a danger. The Scripture speaks to us about materialism. And so our objective here is to open our eyes and to see the danger of materialism in our lives. And not only during this time of the year, but through all of our lives. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at four major points as we talk about materialism. The first one here, and this is probably one of the most important ones, is beware of materialism. You may think, well, I don't have a problem with materialism. I don't need to think about it, worry about it. The Scripture tells us to beware, to be on alert. It is possible that we can get tangled up into materialism. That's the first point. The second point, which will help us with materialism, is priorities. And our second point is, and you're here tonight, but all through our lives, we are to seek God first. We're to place Him first in our lives all the time, especially during this time of the year. Our third point we're going to look at here has to do with mental honesty. So we were told to beware, but we need to be honest with ourselves. And I have a couple of tests that I'd like us to take tonight about materialism during this time of the year. And let's see how we do on this test. And the last point here is we're going to look at several dangers. What is the danger of materialism? So first of all, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. Here we have a parable being used by our Lord. And we find that in this particular area here, He is telling us to beware of materialism. Now let's go ahead and read chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. He said, you see in verse 13 here, someone is telling him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Okay, and then Jesus begins his statements here. And then he said to them, here's Jesus, our Lord, talking. He says, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has abundance does his life consist of possessions." And he told them a parable. The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to share my crops?" And he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Note here in this particular reading that there are three parts to this discussion of our Lord. The first one here is his statement here in verse 15. And note here, beware. He's talking to his disciples. So if our Lord tells us to beware of materialism, we need to beware. We should not say to ourselves, "I will never have a problem with material. That will not happen in my lifetime." Brother, when we make statements like that, we are not doing what the Lord has commanded. He's telling us to beware. We have brethren that were brethren in the past, and they have fallen by the way because of materialism. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. And we should not be foolish to say that it cannot happen to us. And so we need to heed our Lord's instruction, and that instruction is to beware. Be on guard. So that was the first part. The second part of this of his instructions here is verses 16 through 21, where we have a parable. And then the third part is the interpretation of the parable, then in verse 21. First of all, let's note this parable. We know what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable means actually to lay two things down. So the Lord is laying down an earthly story, and then he has a heavenly meaning. So in the heavenly meaning, then, if he's telling an earthly story, then we have to interpret what that story means to us, right? What is the heavenly meaning? In this particular example, he actually tells us what the meaning is in verse 21. But note this parable here that the Lord is constructing here, an earthly story here that the Lord is creating here about this man. I don't believe this is actual point, but the Lord is making some points. The first note, as we went through this thing, did you note the emphasis on material things? Note throughout this parable here. First, this man was rich. He had crops. He had barns. He wants to build larger ones. He has grain. He's got goods. Material goods are being mentioned all through this parable. And note here the attitude of this man, this rich man. Did you note here as the Lord is constructing this parable, how he's emphasizing this man about I? The word I occurs all through here. He says in verse 17, "What shall I do since I have no place?" Verse 18, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my burdens." 19, "I will say to my soul." You see, this man is centered around himself. It is I. The Lord wants each of us as Christians to put our trust into Him. He is the provider of all these good things. The things that we have today is from the blessings of our Lord. It's not I, it's the Lord who is generous enough to provide us the things that we have. And also note about this man here. This man is a hardworking man, right? He's just working, I don't know, 24/7 it sounds like. He's industrious. We would like to have this type of man as our neighbor. This man would be good for the economy. Be industrious, being very productive, wants to expand his business, can probably potentially hire more workers. This guy is a hard, industrious man. But we find that this man, of course, had a problem. That was that he was self-centered, and we find that God is completely out of the picture. So what is the point here? As I just read in verse 21, here's the whole point of the whole parable. Verse 21 is your answer. Here is the Lord's interpretation. It says, "So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We need to be rich toward God. Nothing wrong with being rich, but this man is completely centered. You see, this man is materialistic, right? He's crowding out God. It's I. God has no part in his life. And of course, we find in this parable his soul would be required that night. And what about all those riches? They're meaningless to him. And so that is the point. We need to be rich toward God. We need to place our trust in him, give him the credit for the things that we have. And so we find here this point here, beware of materialism. And here we find in verse 15 when he says, be on form of every form of greed. He says every form of greed. That tells you the different types of greed, right? And this particular greed here is the greed or materialism where it just crowds out one's spiritual priorities. So, brethren, let's heed the Lord's admonition. Beware and be on guard for materialism. Okay, staying in the same chapter here, we go on to our second point. So the Lord, here we find these people are having a problem with dividing the possessions, the family inheritance, and they're concentrated on material things. So we have what we just read here, and the Lord continues this discussion. So we go now to same chapter. Let's read verses 22 through 24. The Lord is going to expound on this. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot even add a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace. How much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. So here we find this admonition here about seeking His kingdom. And again here, we find a lot of discussion here about things that we need in life, right? Talks about food. We all need to eat, right? We all need to wear clothes. We need a home to live in. And as Jesus goes through these things, He says, you know, He's aware that we have physical needs. There are things that we do need to live our life. But when you look at the things that we do have in life, note verse 23. And this is the point here. We are a physical being. We have physical needs. But we are more than just a physical being. We are also a spiritual being. And note verse 23 says, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Here the Lord is looking at the spiritual needs of man and woman, that they have a soul. And life is much more important than our physical needs. We have a soul, and life is more than that. So our Lord, when God knows of our needs, we look at verses 28 through 30 about these illustrations about the physical world, the plant world, and the trees. And you know, you see all that beauty. When God created them, He takes care of those things. He knows that we have basic needs, and our basic needs will be taken care of. But again, as we find here, what is the point here in verse 30? We are to seek, verse 31, but seek His kingdom. But what a grand way of avoiding materialism and protecting ourselves. We always in our life putting Christ first in our life and serving Him, we won't have a problem with materialism. But this takes devotion and it takes dedication to do what He has said. Okay, our third point we mentioned here is about mental honesty. Go with me to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus also has a discussion here about materialism, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. Matthew 16, 19 through 24. And He begins here, and let's go ahead and read it. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus talking to His disciples, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is a lamp of the body. So, then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So here in this sermon, talking about materialism, the first thing to note in 19 and 20, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Okay, so we have not. So is this forbidding savings account? We just talked about earlier about, you know, saving for your kids' college education. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures. If you're storing, you're making money, and you're saving it for your kids' college education, are you violating Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount? No, we note here in 19 and 20, it's a Hebrew idiom. A Hebrew idiom is words or phrases that do not necessarily literally mean what they mean. And here we have the not but. And what the important point about the not but is the emphasis is on the but. What happens after the but? Verse 19 is not necessarily telling us not to store, not to have a savings account. But the point is this is the emphasis. In verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Again, priority needs to be on spiritual things. But we have now this illustration about the eye. What is this eye about? Why is the Lord talking about the eye? The eye is the lamp of the body. What is the Lord's point? Here He is again looking at mental honesty, right? He wants our eye to be clear. Well, is He just talking about the eye? No, He's talking about our reasoning, our mind. He wants our minds to be clear. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If our whole body is full of light, what's the point? The point is that we will understand God's Word. We'll be honest with ourselves. and His Word will have an impact on us. But if our eye is bad, if we're not seeing clearly these things, then that's a problem. Then we could be full of darkness. So here the Lord is talking about being honest. We want to have clear eyes. So this time of the year, we want to be honest with ourselves. Do we have a problem with materialism during this time of the year? Now, you might say, well, you're here, as I indicated earlier, well, you don't have a problem. Is it possible you do have a problem? Here's a couple of tests here. Well, first of all, the first test, you're here tonight. So that says that, likely, you don't have a problem with materialism. But here is another simple test, right? So, in this society, we have these things called credit cards. Credit cards are nice to have. And, of course, the banks just love you because promote the credit cards and use the credit cards and very profitable for the banks. Here's the question. During this time of the year, you already have spent gifts. You probably exchanged gifts. How has that gift-giving affected your contribution? Is your contribution the same as it was before this season? If it is, that says that you don't have a problem with materialism. But now, remember, materialism gets to a point where it starts crowding out the Lord. Part of the Lord is contributing to the needs of the saints. You've made a commitment. God has blessed you. Well, during this time of the year, are we spent so much that we don't have money to continue our normal contributions? Such a simple test, but let's be honest with ourselves. You know your finances. You know what your credit card statement is. You know what your budgets are. You know what your income is. Are you at a point now that it's not, or it could be in January that, well, oops, got a credit card bill. The minimum payment is this. I got these other needs. Got food, mortgage payment, car payment. And then, oops, I'm kind of short on the board. I can't contribute like I normally do. Rather, that may be an indication that we have a problem with materialism. Remember when we start with Titus 2:12, we are to make good decisions. Live sensibly. And it's so easy during this time of the year. We want to be generous. We like to give gifts, but we can go overboard. And we get to the point that it starts affecting the contribution. It could be potentially a problem. So again, let's beware and let's be honest with ourselves during this time. And as the Lord has said here, is we cannot serve two masters. And He wants us to serve Him all the year, 365 days of the year, during this time of the year also. Okay, we want to now look at, with our remaining time here, is look at some dangers. What are some dangers of materialism? First of all, go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. We want to look at verses 1 through 9. We talked earlier about how we've been blessed by the Lord. And we know here Ecclesiastes talking about our life under the sun. Let's just read verses 1 through 9. He says, and Solomon writes, says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and is prevalent among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires. Yet God has not empowered him to eat from them, for a foreigner enjoys them. This is vanity and severe affliction. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say better the miscarriage than he. For it comes in futility and goes in obscurity, and its name is covered in obscurity. It neither sees the sun, and it never knows anything. It is better off than he. Even if other man lives 1,000 years twice and does not enjoy good things, do not all go to one place? One place referring to death. And so here, Solomon, as he writes here, he says there is an evil. This evil is not evil, something that is unrighteous, but it's something that is not good. And the good here he's talking about is enjoying our physical blessings. Isn't it great to be able to share gifts during this time of the year and have the funds and be able to do that? But what happens if a person who gets so involved in materialism and so involved and consumed about that, about, you know, the worries that come with paying the bill, that he's not even enjoying the gifts that he is giving? This here, Solomon says, this is futility. Enjoy God's blessings. Again, I think during this time of the year, I don't see any problem in giving gifts. Receiving gifts and giving gifts with the points that we made earlier. It's God's blessing. Enjoy this time of the year. But materialism gets to the point that you become so worried about it, get so wrapped up in this time that you don't have the time to enjoy it. Enjoy this time of the year. It is a great time to have these seasons and enjoy the things that we have. A second danger, so this thing, the point here is that it can rob us of our present fulfillment, enjoying our physical blessing. A second danger here, we've already talked about it here, it blinds us to spiritual priorities. We do not want to be blinded, right? We want our eyes to be clear. We want to know when we have a problem. Well, materialism can blind us. The next point here about a danger here is if people are so involved in materialism, it can be subversive to a peaceful society. You remember the example of Ahab and Nadab, right? Nadab had a garden, and Ahab wanted it. So what did he do? His wife encouraged him to take it, and he did. And so we find a misuse of it resulted in his death. And so materialism can get to that point where it results in a society where things are not peaceful. Hopefully in the United States we haven't reached that point, but people having things and wanting things so bad, it can lead to that. Another danger here is foolish futility. We kind of talked about that in this parable. Now, how does Jesus address this rich man who wants to build these barns? He calls him a fool. It can be a foolish thing to be involved in materialism. The next danger here, and the most critical one for us here, is it can bring spiritual death. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is usually known as a chapter that's filled with a lot of dangers, a lot of things that are not right for a Christian to be involved in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10 here, note that the end of verse 10, people that are engaged in these things, in this list here starting in verse 9, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Would it be so foolish here that we get involved in materialism and we miss heaven? Wouldn't that be, and we would not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the blessings of the kingdom? Wouldn't that be the worst thing could ever happen to us? Here we enjoy the blessings during this time of the season, things that God has blessed us, and we get so wrapped up that we miss heaven. Now, who are the people that miss heaven? Note in verse 10, the second word here, the covetous, people that covet things, wanting things so bad they'll do anything to have them. That is materialism. The people that are covetousness. And so, brethren, it is a grave danger. It can be a grave danger for us. And the last danger here is, as we've been talking about through here, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we're blessed in this country. We're very prosperous. You have good jobs. Note in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. Here Timothy, as he's instructing the brethren in the church of Ephesus, there were some people that were rich. And here's where Paul's instruction to Timothy to teach the brethren. He says here in verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of which is life indeed. And so here we find these instructions here to the rich. Enjoy your blessings. Take those blessings and use them to serve God, to help people, to help the brethren who are in need, and do not fix your life and be conceited with the riches, because riches can also be very fleeting. So brethren, tonight here, as we've looked at this danger of materialism, we looked at these four points. Beware of materialism. If you heard the sermon, you're very familiar with the parable of Jesus, what are you going to do? Hopefully you will heed the Lord's instructions. Beware and be on guard. We saw on our second point here, how do we avoid materialism? We put Christ first in our lives, in all aspects, at all times of the year. Next, we looked at mental honesty. We need to be honest with ourselves, not only in terms of materialism, but all the other dangers that a Christian confronts. And then we looked at several of these dangers that materialism can lead us to. So, brethren, God is good. God is great. What a great time of the year to enjoy all the blessings, to give gifts, to receive gifts, the things that He has so richly blessed us with. And so we need to give Him the credit. He is the source of all of our blessings. And hopefully tonight that this lesson has been an encouragement to us, that we will open our eyes to materialism, not only during this time of the year, but through all the days of our life. There may be some here in our audience who you need to respond to the gospel invitation. We offer that at every time of our meeting. Maybe there's some who haven't put Christ on, put Him first in our lives, and haven't committed their life to Christ. Or there might be some of you here that maybe materialism is becoming a problem. You may not need to come forward here, but we need to seriously think about this thing, because it is a danger. I want, and I know your brother, want to see every one of you in heaven one day. Do not let materialism stand in our way, and give heed to it. If you need to respond to the gospel invitation, I encourage you to come forward as we stand.